Good for you.
Well, everybody, welcome to A Course in Miracles. You know, you've probably heard me say it a few times, and we're going to look a little more deeper into this statement, this idea. Somebody asked me years ago, you know, what is Course in Miracles? What are we doing with it? You know, what's it supposed to gain you? You know, enlightenment or happiness or peace? You know, so that conversation happens every once in a while. And a couple of years ago, it occurred to me that, you know, Course in Miracles, it's really just busting your ego. And in particular, this weird phrase popped out of my mouth, which is, you believe something with your heart and your mind. In fact, you know it with your heart and your mind. You know something that isn't true, which puts you in prison of your own making. Because you really know something that isn't true. Oh my goodness. Luann, you've heard this many times. I'd love to hear you have questions on that.
I wanted to say that yesterday one of my clients had a whole mind-blowing flip. And it was all about that. He believed that what he thought, what his brain told him, was what was true. And he's believed it so much that now he has for years, he's had breathing problems, like he was having a panic attack. And he had an experience. He was separated from his parents when he was 4 for a while, and he stopped breathing, and they went away. And then just the last few years, it's come back, been in the hospital a number of times because he couldn't breathe. And so I said, you know, what you have is separation anxiety, some form of it, and what you need to do is figure out what you're afraid of losing. And he couldn't, because he didn't think that was possible. He believed that his thinking about having a panic attack is what caused him to have a panic attack. Like, it went from no breathing to thinking was not breathing to not being able to breathe, to be ending up in a hospital. And I thought, you know, you can't stop there. You just can't. But he wouldn't agree. So finally I said, you know, a number of years ago you told me that your sweetheart, he's had for 60 years, had a terrible childhood in which she never felt any love. And I said, and you love her. So I think what you should do is realize that what's the problem is you're afraid she's going to leave you, because she doesn't know how to love. And I said, does she love you? And he said, yes. And I said, well, then that's the answer. You love her. And I know this is a human love, but it's kind of the same thing. You love her, and you need to let her know. And you know she loves you. And I want you to say every day, or whenever you have a beginning of one of these breathing things, I love Lisa, and Lisa loves me. And so last night he texted me and he said, I started having a breathing problem last night when I was in the kitchen. And he said, I love Lisa and Lisa loves me. And it went away. He said it worked to say it. It's kind of like you got to say something different about all these beliefs you have. Like, they're not true. And he was just
sure. All connected to a prison that you've made for yourself, whether it's breathing or not ability to love or be loved, or the idea that, you know, you're not worthwhile. It's all connected, Luann, as Luann described, to a prison that you make for yourself. And in that man's case, his prison bars were even, he couldn't breathe. He had breathing episodes. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. How powerful for you to know something. I'm going beyond belief here, right?
He was.
He knew something. And you know something. That you've proven to yourself and to everybody else that you know something about living in a body and time and space. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day, just every single day.
I think we all do that are here.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I don't know it, but I really do think it.
And so you continue, unless we have a spiritual awakening, then you, via your knowledge of the world and complete absorption in your identity in the world, you will continue to reinforce this situation, and you will know it even better, that you are a body, that you're not free, and God is just a fantasy. This is what, unless you open with your spirit, your Holy Spirit, then you will continue, like perhaps you do much of the day. You just continue as a body completely. Not a care, not a thought to your higher self. You just continue to swim in the fish tank with whatever the fish tank maker made for you. And you'd be lucky if you're in Tim's fish tank, apparently. Some passages and some cool stuff. Yeah, regular food. It's cat food, okay, and you're a fish, but still, it probably works out great. What do you got, Don?
I was wondering, a current investigation that's occurring for me, if you will, or bringing to awareness, is this statement, bring darkness to light, not lightness to darkness. And I wonder how that applies to what we're talking about, what we've been talking about here, like Luann was talking about, for example.
Yeah, that basic, that's a beautiful orientation. Whether you would try to fix the situation you believe in, that's bringing light to darkness. Or would you take a situation that you know is broken, and carry it, put your arms around it, and carry it to the truth? This is a metaphysical understanding of how you solve your problems, Don, and everybody. And this is something you learn with A Course in Miracles, and it's one of the, as you perfectly stated, it's one of the metaphysical statements in A Course in Miracles about your healing of your mind. Do you keep your problem and try to fix it with A Course in Miracles? Or the Holy Spirit, but essentially keeping your problem just the way it is? Or do you look at the problem just the way it is, but you move your perspective to the Holy Spirit, therefore bringing your perspective to the light, saying, Holy Spirit, show me this differently. Not, Holy Spirit, fix this. Make me lucky. Do you see the difference?
Yeah, you know, I there's something about my biochemistry and, you know, kind of mood disorder, depression, up and down. And I wanted to have your help, I believe, in so earlier in this day, I actually do have a Zoom meeting with another Course in Miracles group, and it's quite lovely. And I often just find, just as I do in this one, I find myself feeling clear and just a kind of a solid sense of well-being. And then I walk out of this meeting and I walk downstairs to my family, my wife, and she's in the kitchen, and she's my perception is that she's kind of down, tired. I didn't make dinner. That's okay. You know, it's fine with me. But I noticed I just crashed. I just crashed. I mean, I'm going, holy hell. And I was working on, okay, this is about, this is something I've called forth, if you will, or how can I don't think I said, how can you, I see this differently, but I was splashing around trying to find the way to deal with it metaphysically. But it's really quite powerful. I mean, it's like walking from the sunshine into a smoke-filled, scary room in terms of how my feeling in my heart and being is.
Yep.
And this description, this kind of scenario is something I could say happens, you know, throughout my day in different ways. Mm-hmm. So there is this real, you know, challenge.
A roller coaster. You have a biochemical roller coaster that you ride in your life. Everybody has it, but yours sounds like you've got some steep turns in it, in your particular roller coaster.
Yeah.
And so you have to come aware of this. And the key for you, and yeah, you bet tonight's meeting applies to that nicely, because you probably believe or know that it should be different. You probably have an argument with it. I would. I just want to be happy. Don, I just want to be happy. You know, we don't care what happens. If I can just be happy every day, then I don't care. I'll just be happy every day. And at the end of the week, I'll have a happy week. Honestly, that's what I want.
That's what I want.
And I failed before Course in Miracles to find any direction, any choices that I could consistently make that would give me a chance at happiness every day. People, you know, jobs, money, success is just, it gave me a chance, you know, like, wow, this will do it. And then, whoa, whammo. And I thought, nah, not good enough. Keep going. Keep looking. Because my heart was full of wanting happiness. And somehow I knew I could have happiness. You know, I looked at the world from a scientific perspective in my case, and from a practical perspective as I was growing up. And I thought there must be a goodness that is way beyond my sadness. I did that simple math, and I was sure, and I remain sure today, and even more sure, there is a goodness. So love is. I just did the math. Love is. And yet, you know, you biochemically, there are times that are harder than others for me to have a happy day all day. I've become to recognize that. You, from your descriptions, and I'm not a professional in this area. A psychiatrist would be a professional in this area, but they can actually measure in very practical ways your biochemical ability to drop and go through a desert and then climb out. So I know a little bit. I've worked with people who have been very serious depressions and or have had very serious depressing events in their life, and I will help them through those things. There is another way Course in Miracles offers, and it sounds like you are taking advantage of that. Mm-hmm. But you must absolutely accept that you are on a roller coaster that the bottom is going to drop out. It'll happen tomorrow. True? Regardless of how you feel now. And that's true for everybody here. There, an event will happen in your lives that will just suck. And the floor will just drop out. Like you've had periodically throughout your whole life. The difference is with A Course in Miracles, you don't have to be afraid of it. If you're doing the course work, now, instead of it being everything to you, it's just your body life. The character called Don, Luann, Ross, Deborah, Timothy, Jacqueline, Andrew, Jason. And it's just a character now. And you can decide how are you going to play that script out? The script is written. How you feel about it is not. How you play it is not written. And it's also the script of when you will awaken to perfect freedom is also written. How and when and what way? Yeah.
That's nice.
No, it is. It has to be. See, that's the point of my whole talk tonight. Because you know something, which is I'm going to die and that'll be it. It'll be depressing and I'll probably hurt in the end and then I'll just be empty. If your ego, if you're following the ego, that is, right? A lot of you no longer have that nightmare. But before Course in Miracles, and if you haven't really scrubbed it out of your head, you may have some lingering thoughts about doom or the absolute limits of being in a body and having to be unhappy. In other words, unhappiness is required for certain things that happen in your life. You probably believe that so much, we could say that you know it. But I've learned with A Course in Miracles that the Andrew character has things happen to him. I had another one happen today. Could be pretty bad. But my peace is not for sale. I'm going to work through it. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do whatever it takes. And then, a month from now, I'll look back and say, that was tough. Well, why not just do that right now? Just say, yeah, you know what? I'll be, that was tough. It only happened today. And then I can just say, it's going to work out. No, well, I don't have to feel the pain. Yeah, Don.
I did. I'm on lesson 28.
Oh.
And it was perfect. And I practiced a lot today and it was really encouraging and hopeful and good. And I did try to pull that in when I went downstairs and this all of a sudden I went like that. I did pull that in. I don't think I gave it enough juice, if you will, to have it work. And then, I went, and this has been my intervention in the past, would be for me to go over and kind of put my arms around my wife, rub her back in the soothing way. And it occurred to me, that bodies communication isn't the Course in Miracles communication. And I did at that point say, I called in Jesus, Holy Spirit, to be communicated in my mind. Because I know how connected, I know our minds are one.
The Holy Spirit can use bodies to communicate, by the way.
Okay, well, that's good to have brought up. In this case, I was working towards having my mind go clear, not feel sorry for her, probably not feel guilty or frustrated with her for causing herself to be unhappy, all kinds of that stuff.
Yep.
Anyway, I didn't go completely passive. I wasn't passive.
But I'm interested you didn't go all the way into the darkness. Is that what you mean by you weren't passive?
My body, really, my body did.
Yeah.
My sadness in my heart was real deep.
Yep. Yep. Don, it's true for everybody. When the dark edges, can I do this on the screen? When the edges become dark, when the edges become dark, that's when to act immediately. And for you, my friend, you're going to have to get talented at jumping in sooner.
Yeah, even when I'm not there really was no very huge stimulus for my behavior, my feeling. I mean,
that's just like the roller coaster that just bottom falls out.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a lot of people, and you too, when you were younger, probably before you got this deep, you're into this type of biochemical reaction, you'd have something go wrong first and you might overreact to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, that's typical. And that's what most of us deal with because it sounds like the extreme biochemical cliff that you have. Mm-hmm. However, the good news is, Don, that it's still the same mind response. You have to become a master. The rest of us need to be pretty good at it, but you need to be a master, obviously. Obviously, but it's still the exact same discussion. And the exact same work that all of us shall do. Luann.
Would it be helpful for him and all of us if we thought we might have one of those spells of, I don't think I've ever been really depressed, but I've started going down and then I decided I'm not going to. Would it be helpful if I'm feeling really, really good to ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do to stay this way? Like Don was saying he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Your whole task is to step out of the spiral down. It's already begun. And what I'm telling you is that the spiral in the big picture of you being a body, that's begun too. But you may not recognize that. But with A Course in Miracles, we can call your mind to awaken and stop this self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
It says it on page 494, paragraph 22. No, 20. We'll start with 21, and then it really hits the nail flat with paragraph 22. This is that particular, and we're almost there. Well, it's going to be a little while, but wow, man, that is a really fantastic chapter. It's called The War Against Yourself. That's the title of chapter 21. Or 23, The War Against Yourself. Is this the right book, Don, or what?
This is the right book.
Yeah. Look at paragraph 21 first, and then the reason we came here was paragraph 22, but I like to read them both. And so, Timothy, are you available? Would you read for us paragraph 21?
The page number again, please?
494.
Okay. I'm there. And paragraph
21.
Come on up.
This is a section, the Laws of Chaos. Wow, what a fantastic, what book has the Laws of Chaos? It's a spiritual book, right? So of course we have to talk about chaos because that's the way this world unfolds. Chaotically, with competing goals. And I'm telling you that the goal, without your Course in Miracles, without your Holy Spirit awakening, that the goal you have is not a true goal, but you have it. So we need to be awakened to it and catch it sooner than later. So this is something you need to do, right? Remember chapter 18, I need do nothing. Well, if you read that, the last thing is to do nothing. You actually have to get on the stick and start doing nothing immediately. Because your ego is very busy having you judge and feel loss and attack and defend, etc. I mean, this is a habit that you're in. I need do nothing. That's like telling somebody who is a candy addict, you need do nothing. Well, no, you need to not eat candy. You need not eat sugar. You need not to buy heroin if you're heroin, or you need not to buy any more alcohol. You need to do something. To do nothing, right? Habits are very powerful. Don't underestimate them. They can really be your friend. The power of mind is part of the power of mind. One of the cheating techniques of the power of mind. So go ahead, Tim, please. Paragraph 21.
From the belief in sin, the faith in chaos must follow.
And you know what? Just for kicks, would you back up one sentence to the previous paragraph and warm us up?
And lack of faith in love in any form attests to chaos as reality.
Oh, read that again slowly, just to warm us up again.
And lack of faith in love in any form attests to chaos as reality.
It's a summary statement of what happened in the first 20 paragraphs. Wow.
From the belief in sin, the faith in chaos must follow. It is because it follows that it seems to be a logical conclusion, a valid step in ordered thought.
So Don goes down the stairs, and then the darkness starts circling in his mind, and he starts to feel dark. And then he says, you know what he says? I have to put words in your mouth. Uh-oh. I think the best possible thing Don could say is, uh-oh, here it comes. How natural. It could be a lot worse, of course. You know, he could find a reason to be mad, a reason to be sad. Oh, my wife did it again. Oh, my medications are off again. Oh, whatever, right? You give yourself a reason, then you really go down fast. Doesn't matter. You believe it's ordered thought as you follow the darkness. Please continue, Tim.
I agree with you that the best thing about the uh-oh is it means that he's mindful of what his mind is doing, what the thoughts are. So mindfulness, as I've been learning it of late, is the process of just simply watching with half of your mind as you go through your day what it is that you are thinking about. And then when you find something that's unpleasant or an obstruction or an attachment, what took place just before that? And you watch your own mind go from, it's like hopscotch, from this to this to this, and you become familiar with what are the patterns that I'm so deeply ingrained in.
You know, this is the first steps in awareness.
Yeah. Okay, I apologize.
Thank you.
The steps to chaos do not follow neatly from their starting point. Each is a different form in the progression of truth's reversal, leading still deeper into terror and away from truth.
And Luann was trying to say, hey, maybe you should hold on to the light that's still in your mind and say, how do I stay in this light? Didn't you say that, Luann?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's like pulling yourself back to the light rather than following the darkness. Sure. Please continue.
Think not one step is smaller than another, nor that return from one is easier.
Yeah, this is so practical. When you are in the throes of starting to go into depression or unhappiness or attack or judgment, each little step, he says, don't think that you could take these little ones and then save it all in a minute. Please continue.
Behold, the scent from heaven lies in each one.
Yeah, you know, and remember, I've told you many 12-step references, and I'm not a 12-stepper. I haven't joined the program, and I don't think I have an addiction that requires that yet. We'll see someday. But I've attended many meetings, and there's so much wisdom. I recommend everybody go to one of these meetings. And I have some family members who are in the program, and that's how I get to these meetings. And they say one of the clever things I heard once was it's not the last drink that gets you drunk and face down in the gutter. You're drinking all the, no, it's the first drink. Yeah. And then that first drink allows you to take second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, and then you just crashed your car and got drunk and were face down in the gutter the next morning. It wasn't any of the other drinks, but the very first one. I thought, wow, that is such simple wisdom. So you imagine, I love these meetings. This is, I map into A Course in Miracles. You know, I don't know if they're all, if you can just walk into any AA meeting, I don't know. But I think that you can to most of them. I think most of them are open. Check it out. These people are in there saving their freaking lives. They all need A Course in Miracles, right? But man, they need to stop drinking first. And it's so applicable. So here it is again with what Timothy just said. He said the whole descent from heaven lies in each of these steps. And really, the first step in the descent to hell away from happiness, the first step you take, this is really the most hazardous one, isn't it? Step number 15 is worse than 16? I don't know. Ross.
So, yeah, what I mean, I've said this before, but what occurs to me is that once you have a holy instant, that's where you can stay unless you take one of these steps. So it's like if you're in a holy instant, right then, you're not an alcoholic. You're not an egoholic. But the thing is, we go right back to drinking from the ego's well and go, wow, I just had a holy instant. How can I make it continue? I want more of that.
Well, that's I got to do it again.
I got to do it again.
And what did I say?
Those are the ego jumping in on your special holy instant and saying,
you got it.
Let's have a drink of the ego.
You got it. I had a holy instant because.
Right. Anything you do because I need do nothing. So anything you do once you have a holy instant takes you out of the holy instant, takes you away from heaven.
And you got
it. That's what he's saying here to me.
So, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. That's that fine line. That's why vigilance becomes so important. Vigilance becomes so important to watch your mind. It's just that your mind would move away from the peace that it has found. You see, you have holy instant, and as Ross was saying, if you just recognize that that's true, because it is a spacious, simple state of mind. Why would you ever move away from that? OMG. Right?
The course also says that once we have a moment of stillness and silence, we get so afraid of that. But what would happen if we maintained that stillness and silence is God and love would immediately rush in to fill that vacuum. But we fill it with something else. And so before the holy incident even happens, we get that, oh, I feel some stillness. Oh, well, I better go wash the dishes, or I better go do something of the ego, because OMG, here comes love and God.
You got that right.
Into that vacuum.
This is love and God and peacefulness. That's not what I'm used to.
Right.
And it does take courage. You know, this spiritual thing to move your identity, it does take courage. You will be letting go of everything you now know. Sounds kind of scary, huh? Except the first thing that you let go of is this fearful, weak, vulnerable victim. That's okay. You know, it says, I am at home. Fear is a stranger here. One of our lessons. I'm just going to let fear leave. Yes, Luann?
The time that I had a holy instant, which was so very obvious, that was what it was when I was doing one of the lessons, and it said, send love to someone that you're ostracized from, whatever that word, estranged from, or have a problem with, or whatever. And I tried and tried and tried, and then finally I said, I can't do this. Holy Spirit, you're going to have to do it for me. And that's when I had my Holy Spirit. I was just filled with love.
Yes.
All I do is love.
Yes, you had the intention, and you surrendered trying so hard to get it right.
Right, so sometimes it feels to me like it's because I'm trying to do something, but I have a problem.
Yep.
No, all the time, that's what it feels like.
Yep.
And it's hard for me to just let go of trying.
Yep.
I guess my ego says, I can get it done. I don't need help. I don't know what it says, but.
Yeah, you will. This happens. Stay on this page here, but make a slight detour based on what Luann just said. She says it's hard to just let go. Well, the key of what we would like to accomplish is the same in any mastery of any skill that you might have. For example, has everybody here done downhill skiing? Has everybody here done downhill skiing? Yes,
no.
Yes,
no.
Deborah,
no. No.
Sundari, maybe Cecilia too. Okay, good, good. Because if you've noticed, if you really try hard to put the skis in the right place and get your body right, oh, it's too fast, too slow, it's jittery. But when you start to relax and you start to trust that you will be able to roll the weight around, the skis kind of come underneath you a little more naturally. You notice that? It really takes a release. You really have to surrender from keeping your legs locked and trying too hard. You have to become quite fluid. In fact, quite trusting that you do know what to do, that you can make this turn or mogul or whatever you're working. It just happens that way. It's the same, I suppose, with all sorts of things. Tennis. You know, eventually you have to just believe you put the racket back, you'll end up hitting it roughly in the right spot. And you'll find out the less hard you try to be so precise, it just ends up happening. It hits the sweet spot. Playing frisbee. You throw the disc the first few times, it's really awkward because you're trying so hard. But then after a while, you get a little tired, and suddenly, how is it you can throw the frisbee perfectly just about every time? So this is part of mastery, and also what we're talking about tonight is for you to use faith in your practice, faith in your learning, faith in the keyword ideals, I-D-E-A-L-S. The ego has ideas. Your spiritual practice has ideals where you can picture yourself choosing peace instead of this, for example. And your goal is to bend your life to your ideals and not try to bend your ideals to your life. It takes a release, it takes courage, and Luann gave us a perfect example for it. There comes a time when you do have to use properly faith. You already have the ideas. You already, those are the lowest level. You already have the beliefs, which is what this book says is true. You already, yeah, these are good. These are solid principles. I can apply these. You know what? My life would be better. You already have that. You must get to faith, which is where you actually walk the walk. And you put trust into what otherwise seems like it's too Passover crazy. Luann did it, and suddenly this peace washed over her, and she handled it. Timothy.
Yeah, can I read just the first two sentences in 22?
Yeah, we'll tell you what, rock it. We rock the whole paragraph.
Okay, brother, take not one step in the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are, and they will follow. You're talking about 12-step. They have a saying that goes, keep coming to meetings and don't lift the first one. You know,
say it again.
Keep coming to the meetings and don't lift the first one. Don't drink the first one.
Oh, don't lift.
Alcoholic beverage, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Don't drink that first one.
And that's it. That's
yeah,
it.
So that's
it
for success. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet any instant it is possible to have all this undone. How can you know whether you chose the stairs to heaven or the way to hell? Quite easily. How do you feel? Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way you go? And are you sure the goal of heaven can be reached? If not, you walk alone. Ask then your friend, capital F, to join with you and give you certainty of where you go.
That's our Course in Miracles work right there. That's a vigilance.
I work the Course very steadily every day now, more than ever in my life. I've been with this thing for 30 years almost, but it's different now than it used to be.
Wow.
And the thought of not having the thought system of, I am not this body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. If you took this away from me, I would be lost.
Wow, great statement.
That would make me depressed. Because I remember, in this dream, I found a way to wake. This nightmare, this hallucination, I found a way to wake from it. And now somehow that's gone away from me. And that would make me sad to the point of frantic.
Yeah, you know? True. Well, I love it where you said that, Timothy. That was beautiful. It echoes a sentiment that I've had too. Course in Miracles, in this book and the authority it's written, gives me hope where I really can't justify hope in the world. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I'm 57 years old now, and I've worked my way through this world the best I can, and boy, just the more, even the highest achievements of myself or my friends that I know don't give me the kind of hope I'm looking for. But this book does. Very well said. I love the way you said that. And I'm right there with you, brother. But we do have it. And it has, part of it's because you raised your ideal and you got some satisfaction. Ross.
There's the guy that I listen to who's been awake most of his life. And at one point after a surgery, he fell back asleep. And just like Timothy was saying, he almost got frantic. He said it lasted like 30 minutes where he fell back asleep and thought he was a body. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, oh, this is horrible. And then he woke back up and everything was okay again. So it is kind of that way. Once you've got once God is chasing you and you're not chasing God anymore, then, oh boy, no, I can't go back.
You can't go back.
Adyashante used to say, what are you going to do? Go back and suffer?
Right. That's it.
What's your alternative to, I mean, I already have enough of this book memorized where, you know, phrases pop up as soon as I get upset. So
sanity.
I can't go back.
Sanity enters. Yeah. The habits of sane thoughts. You bet. And the book is written just that way, Ross, so they'll pop in your head.
I mean, I'll stumble. Yeah, so what? You know, that's Ross' character stumbling.
Yep.
But that's not where my identity is.
Yeah, yep. So as we often read on page 311, paragraph 9, it says, you don't have to go there. I'll just tell you the sentence. You'll remember it when I tell you. It says, the holy instant does not require that you have no impure thoughts. Comma, just none that you would keep. Because he knows that you're still addicted to the ego and you're still likely to have judgmental thoughts and try to drag characters into the mud with you. He knows that, but all you have to do is prefer to be peaceful and loving and not get a step in the descent to hell and drag your brothers with you. This is all you have to do.
And isn't it still just the Andrew character or the Ross character that's having those impure thoughts?
Yes.
You don't have to feel guilty because it's never going to be enlightened.
Right. So the Ross character, the Andrew character will never be enlightened. Right, everybody? You guys got that?
So I don't see how it's possible to have the Ross character be this perfect, person who has no impure thoughts. It doesn't really make sense because it's going to have fear of dying. I mean, it just doesn't mean that my identity doesn't have to be wrapped up in the Ross character. It's going to die.
Fear of dying. It's a desire to be warm rather than cold.
That preferences.
Rested versus, hang. Is it hangry? You know that phrase? Hungry and angry at the same time.
Yeah. Or halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
Oh!
That's what my counselor said. Don't get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired. You make bad decisions.
Oh, that sounds wise. What do you got, Sundari?
Well, I love what Ross just said. So the Dalai Lama is not going to get enlightened before Ross.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Ross is not going to,
anybody else. I mean, it's only like we can be all enlightened together or not. It's the same way. You can't have a holy relationship with any person without having.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. And Ross is not going to suddenly elevate or levitate.
Well, unless.
The holy relationship is an inside job.
Yeah.
It takes two to have an unholy relationship. It takes one to have a holy relationship. The idea that there are two is part of what makes it unholy. So, yeah, you have to move into this metaphysical understanding. You know, if you keep trying to find love out there, you will forever be looking. It's very tempting because, you know, we're creative. We are creative seekers of love. But the rule here is seek, but do not find. That's the rule of the ego. Seek and seek and seek, but do not find.
Andrew, is there a list somewhere of the different names Jesus uses to describe the Holy Spirit? I mean, we've got a lot of different ways of saying it. In this case, in chapter 22, it's your friend with the capital F. So that's how I know it's, you know, holy. But yeah, I mean, yeah. I was just struck. Okay, here's just one more example of, you know, a different label to stick on it.
Another way that the Holy Spirit shows up. Yeah. You recognize that the Holy Spirit is not. And the answer is no, I don't have the list, Timothy, but that sure is interesting. So maybe I'll compile that one day. The Holy Spirit is not an entity. Newsflash, God is not an entity. It's okay to think of it that way when you're starting out A Course in Miracles. But after a while, you'll recognize that you really need to understand that the Holy Spirit, got to put emphasis on spirit there. And for sure, God, like in chapter 15, very specifically, I can show you where if you want to see it. It says, look, God is an idea. And it goes on to some more discussions and then drops the point because it's way beyond what the separated mind is ready to handle. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit can be the voice for God, your friend, your higher self. Jesus is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the Holy, W-H, Spirit. There is an unholy spirit as well. Make no mistake. Spirit would be, the phrase is not in the book, I don't think. It's an Andrewism, but it's just as powerful. This is in the book, that your ego mind and your holy mind have the same power. That is in the book. Because they're using the same tool, your mind. What you choose, you will get. So important, then we read this paragraph, which is choose up instead of down. And the sooner the better. Because you're choosing with the power given you, a creative power that will make a nightmare if that's what you want. If you start following the darkness, it will come. And if you look for a reason to be upset, you will find it. You creative creator, you. I just wanted to jump to this paragraph because of something Sundari said. Look at page 666 and other circles known as the sign of the devil. How bad can it get? He'll hear. This is a page on temptation, as you'd expect the devil would tempt you. But A Course in Miracles says, no, choose once again. And so what Sundari said reminded me of this, the italics right there. You see that on page 666? It says, choose once again if you would take your place among the saviors of the world, comma, or record scratch, would you remain in hell and hold your brothers there? That sounds really binary, doesn't it? Because it is. There's no neutral. Choose how you're going to use your mind. Choose the source of your thinking. And then follow that, and peace will be your guide. How do you know? How do you know you're making a choice between heaven and hell? How do you know? Somebody tell me. How do you know you're choosing heaven or hell?
Your peace-o-meter.
Your peace-o-meter goes off. That's it. You do have a guide on how to live this life. You do have a guide on how to craft your own enlightenment. You do have a guide on how to get a good night's sleep every night. Become accustomed to what it means to feel peaceful. And if ever you don't feel peaceful, back off.
And if you're not peaceful, then you're not on the right path.
Obviously, you want to be peaceful. So you just become vigilant and watching that. And it works. Even if you do what in the world might be considered the wrong thing, or even in the Course in Miracles terms, you do the wrong thing. By learning how to follow a sense of peace and asking for peace and seeing this in your mind, you learn to access the Holy Spirit. You really do have to be courageous, like Luann described earlier. She gave up, but she turned. The Holy Spirit says, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. You do this. But in that appeal, do you see what she did? It's on page 298, paragraph 6. Let's turn there real quick. One of our favorite things to look at. But this is so practical. And how do you call in the Holy Spirit when your unholy spirit is taken over your life? You got you worried. It's got you judging. It's got you devising some way to attack somebody because they really deserve it for what they did, they said, they should have done, or they didn't say, and they should have said. On and on and on. The ego will never run out of reasons to attack. Yeah, but you got your heart angst up, right? And you're all upset, and you're right. Okay, you better come to page 298. You go to the top of the page. Jacqueline, would you read for us these amazing words? And just read us those italics and that finish up that paragraph.
I do not know what anything, including this, means.
That's a reset statement, right? You got this means the situation that your panties are up in a bunch about. And you have to pick it up and look at it. You don't try to go bliss out because you're in trouble. You're in trouble. So look at the trouble. But this time you're going to look at it with A Course in Miracles right-mindedness. Please continue, Jacqueline.
And so I do not know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now.
So that's really abandoning your ego. This first Course in Miracles lessons, the workbook lessons, are all about letting go of the past, right? You're preoccupied with the past. You see nothing as it is now. Your meaningless thoughts are showing you a meaningless world. You're preoccupied with, you have to abandon your ego's way of thinking. That means you're going to do something in the moment that's quite unnatural. If you want happiness and if you want to invite the Holy Spirit in, you must learn to abandon your ego's way of thinking with confidence. Please continue.
You know, it's interesting that it says my own past learning as the light to guide me now. There's got to be some subtle something there, right? About
teach us.
That?
No, you teach us. You saw it. You teach us. Tell us.
Well, if everything is light, I don't know. I'm not sure.
You're looking for light. You don't know. You're in the darkness, and yeah. You're going to follow a guide. You're about to do something. You're in a situation where you're about to yell at somebody. Like Don comes down the stairs, and his wife once again did what she does. Well, he has an opportunity here. He can remind her of what she does, and he can sound quite powerful. It's not going to go well for him. He should not use his own past as the light that he follows. So you bet.
Because to the ego, I guess it seems like light.
Sure does.
Okay.
You definitely got it, Jacqueline.
All right. By this refusal to attempt to teach yourself what you do not know, the guide whom God, there's a new name, another name for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, racking them up.
The guide whom God has given you will speak to you. He will take his rightful place in your awareness the instant you abandon it and offer it to him.
So how do you do it? How do you get the Holy Spirit to come in and weigh in on your difficult situation when your mind is all in a knot? It's right here in these very sentences. It's offered you, even with steps. Look how it's just offered you. It even tells you how to go against your own ego. The ego says, I do know. I know that bastard is guilty, shouldn't have said that, or should have said what I told him to say less. I didn't do it. I'm going to attack. I'm going to win. I'm going to attack. I'm going to get an apology and maybe even a correction from this situation. Says the ego. Will not work well for you. Attacks don't work well. Attacks attack you first and probably even more than the other person. Has a longer effect, that's for sure. Luann?
I'd like to take Don's example, if that's okay.
And sure.
This would not be what was going on for you at all, but if it had gone on for me, I would have said something to my spouse that wouldn't have worked because I was feeling guilty and it was their fault for making me feel guilty. In other words, if they'd just be happy, then I wouldn't have to feel guilty because that meant I was doing an okay job as a spouse.
Yep. Yeah. That gets pretty twisted. I had a girlfriend who was upset when I was singing because I was too happy. She said, you're so happy and you're making me feel sad. And remind me how sad I am. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do about it. Because, you know, I do my Course in Miracles. I would go up in this, I have this redwood tree on my property and I put an elevator on the side. It's 150 feet up. I cut the top off and I put a platform up there and I got this elevator. I would ride up there and do my Course in Miracles. You've ascended, left the world behind, right? It's just sitting on top of a redwood tree, reading Course. Life is good, you know, could really just leave the world behind. You're looking down at birds, you know, you're really up there and you could just do the Course. And I did for years and years. And poor Valerie, she would be on the ground dealing in the darkness with her demons once a week. It was a regular thing. And I would come down from the tree and I would just be, so, I would have holy instances. I'd be singing. It was, you know, but it was honest, you know. I would come down glowing and it would just remind her of how dark she was feeling at the time. Yeah. You can't take on other people's issues and you certainly can't blame them for your own, even if it's positive.
Well, I haven't heard you sing, so maybe it was actually your singing.
Come on, Ross.
You know, that could be it. Very possibly, she was a singer, so I bet you it really hurt when I sang. She sang at weddings sometimes for her friend. Yeah, you know, you might be right.
I don't know. I don't know if this input is important, but I just to clarify, again, when I came down into the kitchen, my wife really didn't, she certainly didn't, it was all in my mind. I mean, she looked unhappy. She looked tired, unhappy, and she seemed to feel like she should have made dinner. I didn't feel that way. And that wasn't even a thought of mine. And I said, it's okay. And I really did. It was one of those learning opportunities for me to just hold in abeyance. I wish I'd had this this phrase, this what we just read in my mind to say. It might have been helpful. But I obviously was in reaction. I'd obviously chosen wrongly. And I was like, I didn't have a clue. Well, the clue I had is something was going on at out of my awareness, a direct awareness, you know, that
you lost your peace,
some guilt or something. Anyway,
guilt. You got it.
Yeah.
You lost your peace and you followed the guilt.
Yeah. Some guilt. Yeah. And that's And as I said before, I tried the thing. I was working my mind and then I went over and I put my arms around her but I realized that's something we didn't talk about, that, you know, that's my past way of trying to help her feel better and help me feel better, obviously.
Yep. Yep.
But you said something about the Course does say you can.
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit can use the body for communication and will.
But it's got to be like this. It's got to come from the
Holy
Spirit.
If you go in and give that hug, you get an ego-filled, shameful, guilt-ridden hug, boy, that's going to stink like the ego.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I got it. So it's not, it's not the form, it's what it's for.
Yeah, what is this for? Very good.
What is this for?
You bet. And where does it come from?
Where does it come from?
You have acts and thoughts that will come from a sense of love that's just spilling over and is contagious. Yeah. You have acts and thoughts that come from a sense of guilt and it's contagious also.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that in the midst of that darkness, it was a good learning experience. I'm so grateful to be able to come right up to another group and be able to, you know, work with this a little bit.
I'm so glad you did, because we're working with it too. I'm so glad you're willing to bring that up and we can share it. We can work it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Turn to page 453, chapter 21 in the text, 453. And let's take a look at paragraph 8. And Deborah, when you get there, would you read that for us? I got your mute. When you're ready, just fire away. 453, paragraph 8 in the text.
Can I ask you while we're waiting?
Yeah.
What was the number you gave before? Because I looked on 296 and...
Oh, 298.
Oh, okay.
Yep. That's one of our toolbox items. If it isn't, it should be. I haven't looked at the toolbox list for so long.
I have it in the back of my book.
Yeah, it's one of the, it should be, it's got to be. Yeah.
448.
Well, there's a lot. That'd be a fun night to go through that too. Go through the toolbox. We should do that sometime.
I don't see 4.
So powerful.
98.
Should be 298.
I don't see 298 either.
Well, I'll have to fix that. Okay, for now, go to 453 in paragraph 8, and Deborah is going to sing it for us. Right, Deborah? Show us that. Show us your pipes.
Those who would preach. Okay.
Those love who- it!
Those who would free their brothers from the body can have no fear. They have renounced the means for sin by choosing to let all limitations be removed. As they desire to look upon their brothers in holiness, the power of their belief and faith sees far beyond the body, supporting vision, not obstructing it. But first they choose to recognize how much their faith has limited their understanding of the world. Desiring to place its power elsewhere, should another point of view be given them. The miracles that follow this decision are also born of faith. For all who choose to look away from sin are given vision and are led to holiness.
Thank you.
So beautiful.
It is really beautiful. Those who would free their brothers from the body can have no fear. You know, that reminds me of what we just read on page 666. I'll read it to you again. This is when he's closing off the course text discussion. It's the very last section that you will read in the text before you launch into the workbook. And guess what he says? He says, choose once again. If you would take your place among the saviors of the world, or would you remain in hell and hold your brothers there? That's his parting words in the text before he launches in. He's looking for your desire to transcend the ego and following the ego downhill. And then in this paragraph 8 on 453, he says those who would free their brothers from the body. It's pretty specific what we're doing here, folks. It really, really, really means it. I'm not a body. I am free. Why? How? Because I'm still as God created me and not as I made myself. And that goes for my brothers too. In fact, that goes for the whole world. You bet. That is what we're doing here. Sentence 2. Those people who would free their brothers have renounced the means for sin by choosing to let all limitations be removed. The means, in other words, the method or way of being separate and proving separation and aloneness and attack and defense and guilt justified. It does require that you have allegiance to separation, called sin in this book. It's the only thing worth describing as sin, as a major mistake, would be that you would believe the separation is real. That's what sin means in this book. As they desire to look upon their brothers in holiness, the power of their belief and faith sees far beyond the body, supporting vision, not obstructing vision. Then the word but comes in. If this isn't working for you, it's probably because what he's about to say needs to be applied. That's why but shows up. He's a master. This book is a masterful use of the language. But first they choose to recognize how much their faith had limited their understanding of the world.
So that's chose.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's important, I think.
Yeah. You have to see, it certainly is a matter of understanding the power of your mind. So much of this book really is about the ego. A Course in Miracles is more about the ego and problems than about solutions. It's more about undoing your belief in darkness and limit than trying to get you to understand the light. Why? Because you are the light. If you did nothing else, the holy instant you would find yourself in would be a door to eternity. You do not need to learn what love is. You do need to learn the blocks that you place between yourself and love. That's what we do. That's what we're doing here with the Course in Miracles. You do not need to learn love. In fact, spoiler alert, you can't learn love. That would kill love. If you could master love, you would kill it. You'd make it another brick in the wall, a book on the shelf, wouldn't you? And then you could do it wrong, couldn't you? If you learned it. No, forget it. Love is a constantly evolving creative act in its true sense. Absolutely, absolutely. But do learn this. Learn to see the blocks that you have made between love and yourself. That you can do and must do. So that's that key in that sentence there. Part of your own freedom is to recognize how you've been getting in your own way. Why? Because nobody else has been getting in your way. In other words, we found the problem. It's you. We also found the solution. It's you. It's the good news and the bad news. You are one thought away from your own freedom. Okay. Sentence five, the miracles that follow this decision are born of faith. That's also a very practical sentence. A miracle is a shift in perception. Miracles are required when you have wrong thinking. Miracles are required when you're looking at darkness and see it. Miracles stand in shining silence, ready to serve behind every miserable thought you have. That's where the miracles are found. Of course, there's no miracles in heaven. Miracles only deal with problems. And since you're so addicted to problems, miracles would be very handy. You should read this book called A Course in Miracles. That's why I'm doing it. The miracles that follow this decision are also born of faith. You don't know the truth. What you do know are lies. What you do know and trust are lies. I keep saying, it'll be the title of my book. You know something that's not true. So you need a miracle to shift yourself out of that false thinking, open your mind, open your spiritual eye, have a shift in perception, raise your perspective, and then with that faith, you will come to experience called the holy instant. It's experience then that gets you to transcend your need for faith. You have a knowing shows up with experience. You own it. That's the encouragement of your spiritual awakening and your increment on your spiritual path from which you cannot reverse. You can deny it, but you can't actually reverse it. Good news. Then it says what I said basically just now. For all who choose to look away from sin are given vision and are... I think we're at Luann. Luann, would you read for us paragraph 9 on page 453?
Okay. Those who believe in sin or separation must think the Holy Spirit asks for sacrifice. For this is how they think their purpose is accomplished. Brother, the Holy Spirit knows that sacrifice brings nothing. He makes no bargains. And if you seek to limit him, you will hate him because you are afraid. The gift that he has given you is more than anything that stands this side of heaven. The instant for its recognition is at hand. Join your awareness to what has been already joined. The faith you give your brother can accomplish this, for he who loves the world is seeing it for you, without one spot of sin upon it, and in the innocence that makes the sight of it as beautiful as heaven.
Talk about a reversal of how to see the world. Oh, what a beautiful paragraph.
Yeah.
You want me to go through it or you got to get a question?
Well, I had a question. And I know there's a lot of words about how to do this or what to do, but what I do when I know that I'm not on the right path is I feel bad inside in some way. In some way.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even as I'm saying something, I'm thinking, oh my God, I should not be saying this. It's not the way for me to think, and I keep on going. I would like, when I recognize that I'm on the wrong path, and it's, I mean, I probably could figure it out maybe, but what would be the best thing for me to get off of it in a conversation?
Courage, courage, courage to stop talking.
Okay.
The ego hates silence.
Okay.
However, and everybody has this affliction, you know, more or less. As soon as you recognize that what you're saying or how you're saying it is inappropriate, just stop.
Even if
take a breath, the person will lean in and open their eyes and say, what? Because they're going to want you to finish that sentence so they can attack you back, but you won't, will you?
Okay.
It's very, very, it's, you mean, Your ego will hate it, but your Holy Spirit, it's actually a key to salvation. You know, if you can catch yourself doing this, you want to see where it is? On page 660, 660, he touches on this, how much the ego just can't stand to not be in control. But Luann, if you can possibly hear yourself say something in a way you don't want to say it or use the word you don't want to use, stop and go silent. Believe me, explain to the person you're talking to why you stop would be the most loving thing they've ever heard you say.
So an explanation would be, I was going to say something that I really didn't mean.
Exactly. My old self, my old ego self was about to say a bunch of stuff I just don't believe. They would love to hear you say that, and you would need to say it and love to say it. Look on page 660, and this would be the honest truth of what you would be doing to arrest your ego. Look at this. Read. The whole paragraph is so great. Now that we're here, we have to read it. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us the entire paragraph 17 on page 660 of the text?
The world can teach no images of you unless you want to learn them. There will come a time when images have all gone by, and you will see you know not what they are, what you are. And you will, I'm going to say that again. There will come a time when images have all gone by, and you will see you know not what you are.
And like in that moment when Luann is about to go on this tirade, say, in a conversation, she says, you know what, that's not even me.
Mm-hmm.
She would know that her old self would do that, but that's not even me anymore. And so she's glad to let it go, but she doesn't really know what she's supposed to say. Please continue.
It is to this unsealed and open mind that truth returns, unhindered and unbound. Where concepts of self have been laid by, is truth revealed exactly as it is.
For example, Luann just stops speaking and she just opens her eyes, her shoulders drop, her voice goes quiet, and the person's like, what? What do you? And Luann would have to speak the truth, wouldn't she? Hold on, Siddhartha, we'll get to you when Jacqueline finishes reading. Luann would have to become present. Oh my God, did you say present? Isn't that where love can occur? In the present moment? Isn't that where understanding occurs? Yeah, but it takes courage to stop the ego tirade. Check it out, Jacqueline. Continue.
When every concept has been raised to doubt and question and been recognized as made on no assumptions that would stand the light, then is the truth left free to enter in its sanctuary, clean and free of guilt.
Wow. Please continue.
There is no statement that the world is more to hear than this. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself. Yet in this learning is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself.
And capital W, what you are will tell you of capital I itself. Beautiful circle. But man, do you have to step back and let it lead the way. You got to step back out of the ego. When the ego opens your mouth, you have to close it. That's another great book title I should write, huh? Oh. The
thing about this is making me cry.
I hope so. Good, good. I know what that means. That's good. I'm so glad to hear it. Okay, Sundari, what do you got?
Oh, there's a different thing too about bringing the darkness to the light. And in David Hoffmeister's community, you know, and this is, it's not just normal talking. It's like talking too clear something, and bringing in spirit. And some of the strongest processes I've ever done are those like that, where each person talks the other just listening, no feedback, no comment, no blah, blah, blah. And I was in one group of 40 people where we were told, you have 8 months, get clear with every person. And we would sit in 2-hour sessions. Somebody would holy, with a flame for Holy Spirit. Somebody would talk an hour and then shut up. And then the other person would talk an hour, and only then you could talk. And if you were clear, you'd go on. If you weren't clear, you'd do another 2-hour session and another. And eventually in those 8 months, all 40 of us got clear with someone else. And what I learned in doing that was a way of honoring my own feelings. And I learned that it was never about the other person, that I would go on and on and on and on talking about all these things I needed to be clear. And there would every single time eventually come a point where you sort of stop and there's nothing left to say. And all there is love. And it's very interesting, because instead of just shutting up and not honoring my own feelings, I know that process, and yet I long to bring it to life, and it's awkward.
Awkward.
And, you know, in a way that lets me honor my own feelings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it goes into attack and da, 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 da. And the cool thing about that exercise is it's geared not to give the space for attack. I mean, there's attacks that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. But the other person's supposed to listen. Yeah. I get it. You know, we just read a little earlier.
For a place that honors both those things we're saying.
Yeah, there is, I don't know if it's a shortcut, maybe that's the fastest way, the Hoffmeister method, and where you can isolate and get somebody to cooperate. That's really good. That's really, really fast, you know, really great. But there's another way we just read here, which is where you do not take one step in the descent to hell. Any time with your thoughts. How do you do it, though? How the heck do you do it? We read that also tonight. You have to do a surrender, and you have to follow peace. So when you open your mouth with your next sentence, if it doesn't feel peaceful, don't say it. Recollect your thoughts, ask the Holy Spirit, and try to get present and more honest. Believe me, if you're not feeling peaceful or happy with what you're about to say, it's not completely honest. As Sundari just explained to us. She went around and around, but she really came to the truth. She came to the source of the dilemmas. It takes some vigilance, you know. And as we were saying to Don at the beginning of the meeting, man, depends on how hot the situation is. Boy, you got to be quick, because the ego comes in with this whole plan of discussion on points and references to other situations and examples. Before you know it, you're buried in the ego situation, and you've lost your loving feeling. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about tonight in closing, is the power of your lies. The power of your lies to yourself is really powerful. You really, really have to understand the power of your own lies and what you believe and the momentum of your addiction of being a body with an ego. It's very powerful. It should not be underestimated. But thank goodness you have a guide. You have a choice of a different light to follow. And I'm so happy that you've come here on Thursday night to study it with me. I think we should do it again next week. Thank you, everybody, for bringing some sanity into the week. And thanks for all your live stories. Thank you, everybody, for speaking up. It was really beautiful. Good stuff. Love you guys. Good night.
Thank you, night. Andrew.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Andrew.
Night.
You're welcome. Good night, everybody.